Thursday, 24-week Ordinary Time 1. The first reading from the first letter to Timothy, chapter 4, verses 12 to 16. Beloved, let no one have contempt for your youth, but set an example for those who believe in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. Until I arrive, attend to the reading, exhortation, and teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which were conferred on you through the prophetic word. With the imposition of hands by the presbyterate, be diligent in the masters, be absorbed in them, so that your progress may be evident to everyone. Attend to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in both tasks. By doing so, you will save both yourself and those who listen to you. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 7, verses 36 to 50. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee house and took his place at table. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wipe them with the hair on of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw it, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he answered, what is it, teacher? A certain creditor had two debtors, one owed 500 denarii, and the other 50. When they could not pay, he forgave them both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, the one, I suppose, to whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have judged it rightly. Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she had wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she had not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she had anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but he who is forgiven little, loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Then those who were at table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is it who even forgives sins?" And he said to the women, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Sharing of the reading. First, the theme. Be faithful until the end. Be faithful until the end is not easy. Many people gave up when they faced difficulties and sufferings. For example, many couples, even Catholics, chose divorce, even though they took the vow before God that they will be faithful until the end. Many religious brothers and sisters and priests chose to break their vows to return to their former life. Today's readings give us guidance and ways to be faithful. In the first reading, St. Paul advised Timothy to live worthy with his episcopal vocation, which God had called him, and the church bestowed on him. He must live in a way that people will church him in word and in deeds, must build everything on the foundation of God's word, and be always concerned about the mission he should accomplish. In the gospel, Jesus does not only say he loves people, but he showed them the depth of his love by being nailed to the cross. He is faithful to carry out his Father's plan until the end to redeem people. Besides Jesus, there are Mary, his mother, the beloved disciple, and many other women who followed him until he gave up his spirit on the cross. Second analysis. First reading. The important virtues of Catholic leaders. Third point. He must be matured. When choosing a leader, people tend to select the one who is old age, mature, and experienced. The case of Timothy is exceptional. He became an episcopal when he is still young. Therefore, St. Paul advised him, "Let no one help contempt for your youth, but set an example for those who believe." To achieve this, Timothy needs to train himself to become a truthful person. First, in words, he must be careful in speaking for others, believing what he said. Do not say one thing and do other thing. Do not quickly promise. If he promised, he must keep his word. Do not say useless things. Do not say things that cannot be backed up by arguments. In a word, he must speak the truth. Second, in ways to behave. He must behave rightly to all, respect elders, zeal to younger, and be careful in contact with women. Third, in charity, faith, and chastity, he must love all people, be faithful in his vocation and relationships, and have a pure mind. Second point, he must build his life and community on the foundation of God's word. Every science or career had an area to learn and to deepen. The proper area of Catholic leaders is the scripture. First, pay attention to learned scripture. Ignorant of scriptures is ignorant of God, according to Saint Jerome. If a pastor does not know scriptures, how can he talk about God to his people? When the pastor did not know scripture well, he had tendency to talk about other things he knows, and these things had no relation to God's word. Second, use scripture to teach and to correct. When preaching, the preacher must preach God's word, not his words or other people's words. He must give God's word an ultimate place, because only God's word had power to save and to set people free. Third, using scripture to solve problems for people. A Catholic leader is not a psychologist or a socialist, although knowledge of the field can help in solving problems. But first and foremost, a Catholic leader must use God's word to help people to solve their problems. Third, be conscious about one's vocation. And often reflection will help a Catholic leader to know, first, he was sanctified for God. Saint Paul said, do not neglect the gift you have, which was conferred on you through the prophetic word, with the imposition of hands by the presbyterate. A Catholic leader must try to sanctify oneself before he can help to sanctify others. Second, he must be zealous with his vocation. Saint Paul advised Timothy, be diligent in these matters, be absorbed in them, so that your progress may be evident to everyone. A Catholic leader must often examine oneself to see if he still had the eagerness of the beginning, since time and confrontation easily wear out his eagerness. Third, he must set a good example and fulfill his duties. Attend to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in both tasks, for by doing so, you will save both yourself and those who listen to you. Word is just drawing attention. Deed is what making people to believe. A life of witness is a powerful sign for Catholic leaders to witness for God. Second, the gospel. The one to whom little is forgiven, love little. We try to skim through the attitudes of three main characters in today's gospel. First, Simon. The fact that he invited Jesus to his house is rare, because he is a Pharisee, the kind of people who often criticize Jesus' teaching and behaviors. The gospel did not give a reason for his invitation of Jesus. He was surprised about the sinful women present in the table. Next is the woman. She is a courageous woman. She knew her sinful life, and those who live in the city knew who she is. She must also know who Jesus is, so she can have courage to express her repentance without fearing of his rejection. Last is Jesus. He led the women to do all weird things under the host and the guest's scrutinizing eyes and forcefully defended her. First, Jesus criticized Simon's way of welcoming him. Under Simon's eyes, Jesus became unclean because he let the sinful women touch him. He also suspected of Jesus' power by questioning in himself. If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner. Jesus saw through his mind, and he politely gave an example of two debtors, one who owed 500 days' wages, and the other owed 50. The reader are easy to recognize that Jesus was reminding both Simon and the women are sinners before him, and both also need his loving forgiveness. The women's sins are clear. Why Simon's sin is the sin of pride. He considered himself as the righteous and had a right to judge others. Jesus' question for Simon implied that he wanted to emphasize on love, not the sins of those who were forgiven. The one who is forgiven much shall love much. Second point, Jesus prayed the women's way of welcoming him. Jesus compared Simon's and the women's way of welcoming him. Jesus was Simon's important guest. His way of welcoming Jesus did not show that. He welcomed Jesus as an important guest. Why the woman is only the passerby. She welcomed Jesus in a way that never happened in the history of humankind. Jesus said, "Do you see this woman? When I entered your house, you did not give me water for my feet, but she had bathed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but she had not ceased kissing my feet since the time I entered. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with ointment. So I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven. Hence, she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven, love little." To reward for the woman loving and courageous acts, Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Application in life. We should not take vows to God so easily and quickly. Once we did, we must be loyal to our vow until the end. Even we must accept pain, suffering, and even death. To be loyal, We must learn the scriptures to find out and to live according to God's standard, not the worldly standard. Everyone had a mission from God to accomplish. We must find out what is it and try the best to complete this mission. If we are faithful to God, He is also faithful to us. Amen.